Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, an economic development podcast featuring candid conversations with business leaders across Michigan. You'll hear firsthand accounts from Michigan business leaders and innovators about how the state is driving job growth and business investment, supporting a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem, building vibrant communities, and helping to attract and retain one of the most diverse and significant workforces in the nation.
Hello, I'm your host today, Ed Clementi, and welcome to the show. And we have actually a longtime friend of mine, Wafa DeNiro. Welcome to the show, Wafa.
Thanks, Ed. I'm excited to be here.
And you are the executive director for the New Economy Initiative, which has been a longtime favorite foundation of mine, even when I was in the legislature. But just for those who don't know what it is, what do you kind of tell people if you go to a party and no one knows what you're talking about, what you do?
Yeah, so we are an organization that works with foundations to raise money to grant new and existing nonprofits that support entrepreneurship and business growth. Essentially, our entire goal in life is to support small business in Southeast Michigan.
So I know your catch basin sounds like it's mainly the Detroit metro area, but can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been very focused on doing work in the city of Detroit, and that's really proved to be successful, and it's been very fruitful. And because of the success we've had in growing the small business ecosystem in the city of Detroit, we're really looking to move outside the city of Detroit and grow and expand the ecosystem in Wayne County.
I know you've had a lot of background in this, but why don't you tell most recently where you came from? I know you're very involved with Wayne County government. Why don't you give a little plug about what you did over there too?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was the economic development director for Wayne County, and a big part of NEI's push to move into Wayne County is a result of some of the work that I did while at Wayne County. We, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, we saw some really big gaps in the small business ecosystem, in the business support organizations, mainly outside the city of Detroit. Detroit had a very, very vibrant business support organization community, very healthy ecosystem. But as soon as you got outside of the borders of the city of Detroit, businesses didn't have a lot of places to go to get support, to be able to apply for things like the PPP, the grants, the different loan programs that were available. So we really started to see the gaps because of the pandemic.
And I imagine you worked directly with the county executive, Warren Evans, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Warren Evans was driving the ship, and Warren Evans has been just an incredible leader for the county and has really gotten the county to a place where they are financially secure. You know, before Warren Evans took leadership in Wayne County, Wayne County was on the brink of bankruptcy, and he really was able to steer the ship, and Wayne County is doing incredibly well now.
Well, now we're going to get to the part how I really know you.
Yes.
back when I first got elected to state rep, my next door neighbor, so we're all located, the legislators are located in the House office building. And my next door neighbor was a guy named Gino Polidori, who was the state rep and former fire chief for Dearborn. And you were his staff person at that point, I believe, when I first started.
I was. So Gino was my state rep. I was living in Dearborn at the time. I grew up in Dearborn. And Gino was probably the only person who I would have worked for at the time. He was so incredibly nice and not a politician at all. I mean, he was just genuine. He was straightforward. He was just an incredible person. And he really wanted to see good things for the state of Michigan. He really wanted to see good things for the city of Dearborn. And he was Dearborn through and through. He was just an incredible person. And he was a great boss, too, which really helped.
Yeah, I really got along with Gino pretty well. We hung around together, even down in Dearborn. And he used to come to my family's restaurant quite a bit back then, Clementi's.
Was that your little Italian caucus that you guys came up with?
No, he had his own Italian caucus. I'm a downriver guy. Dearborn doesn't like to be part of downriver sometimes. But the thing, too, is I think you graduated from the prettiest high school in Michigan. Why don't you tell people what that high school
Absolutely.
Was?
Actually, I graduated from Fortson High School, and this year is the 100-year anniversary. So it's a big year for Fortson High School. It was built in 1922. It was, I didn't know you were going to ask me about this. Otherwise, I would have come prepared with some historical facts, but it's an incredibly beautiful building. And my favorite part of that building is the library. There's some artwork, there's tapestries in there, there's hand-carved tables and chairs. It is a beautiful, beautiful building. I highly recommend anybody go and visit it during non-school hours, of course. It's like a museum. It's gorgeous. It's an incredible place to go to school.
Yeah, I've never been inside. I've only seen it from the outside, but I know everybody that's gone there loves it. And I know that you also, one other plug we're going to put in, but for who replaced you, your friend from high school, right? And she's doing really well now too, Faye Ruse.
Yes. Yep. When I left working for Gino to move to Washington, D.C., Faye Ruse took over working for Gino.
And your name is not a common name, so you actually speak a different language. Probably you grew up with that language, right? Were you speaking Arabic at first?
Yeah, Arabic is my first language. I always tell people I speak Arabic and a little bit of English. So Arabic is my native tongue.
And were you born here? Were you born overseas?
I
remember you told me once, I forgot.
I was born in Lebanon. I came here when I was 3 and grew up in Dearborn amongst a lot of other Arab speaking people. And it was just it's an incredible community. I loved growing up in Dearborn. I loved, being able to speak Arabic and be able to eat at some of the best restaurants in the state. And I will argue with anybody about that. Dearborn has the best food in the state.
Well, you know, from there, I know you said you went to U of M. But then what took you on the path that you have a really unique path that kind of qualifies you in a lot of different ways for this job? But you went from U of M to where then?
So I went from U of M I moved out to D.C. I got a job with the Department of Defense and then went to grad school at Georgetown. I got a master's in public policy. And while I was in D.C. working for the Department of Defense, I got to travel the world. I got to live in Southeast Asia and the Philippines and Jordan. And it was just an incredible time. I was young. I was traveling the world. It was great. But eventually I wanted to come back home. Michigan was calling my name and, I had to leave all that behind to come back home.
Well, I know you've had a very interesting past and we appreciate you doing this. So how did all this lead you to get into economic development, first of all, because that's what the MEDC is about. So,
yeah, so it was I kind of stumbled into economic development. It was never really a career path that I had thought about. It was never really something that I felt in my bones where, a lot of economic development folks say, this is what I've always wanted to do. I wasn't really one of those people. It was, I started working for Wayne County, actually doing real estate work, selling off some of the excess property as a part of, getting the county back into better financial standing. So I started working selling the excess property. And from there, I started dabbling into some of the brownfield work, and I got pulled into exclusively taking over the brownfield work for Wayne County. And from there, it was just, this looks interesting. I'd really like to start working on some of this economic development stuff. And eventually I took on more and more responsibility, and eventually I became the economic development director for Wayne County. So if you would have told me this in college, I would have said, nah, economic development is not really my thing, but I absolutely love it. It's so impactful. It's so important. And it's really one of the most rewarding careers, because you see immediate results from your work.
Yeah, it's funny. Economic development is sort of like the invisible hand for almost everything, but it's not like people usually get degrees in it. My undergrad was in public administration, and then my grad school degree was in organizational leadership, but they both really were foundationally involved in economic development, but you just don't really know it till you actually hear somebody who does economic development.
Yeah. And, you know, economic development is, I wouldn't even say it's an invisible hand, because you see it everywhere. You see the impact of the work everywhere, and you see how important. And, you know, during the pandemic, it was all of the economic development folks who got together and said, small businesses need support. Let's figure out how we can support them, and let's figure out how we can keep them alive and going, and, you know, how we can weather the COVID-19 storm. And I think a lot of businesses survived because of economic developers and organizations like Wayne County Economic Development, the MEDC, and all of the other, and of course, the New Economy Initiative, which did a lot of COVID work. So a lot of these, all of these economic development organizations were really instrumental in saving the businesses that could have died because of COVID.
You're listening to the Michigan Opportunity, featuring candid conversations with Michigan business leaders on what makes Michigan a leading state to live, work, and play. Listen to more episodes at michiganbusiness.org/podcast.
What is the New Economy Initiative? You explained sort of what it does, but I know from its inception, there's a lot of people involved in making it be created, I think.
Absolutely. So like I said, we're foundation funded, and our, you know, we've had a lot of foundational support over the years. The New Economy Initiative is housed at the Community Foundation for Southeast Michigan, but we're also funded by organizations like Kresge, Kellogg, the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation, William Davidson, J.P. Morgan, Hudson Weber, and the Ford Foundation. And those organizations have really come together and are collaborating to make sure that NEI and organizations like NEI continue to support the small business ecosystem and continue to support building small businesses in the area. I mean, over the last 12 years, NEI has made $130 million in grants, and this is all funding that's come from these foundations. So they really, none of this work could be possible without the foundation supporting NEI. And the work has been instrumental in keeping the small business ecosystem going in Southeast Michigan. And this has really become a model for not just other places in the state, but nationally. What these foundations have done with the New Economy Initiative is a model that other parts of the country are trying to replicate.
Well, I mean, just from that list you just read of the foundations, it's sort of like a who's who of foundations, because a lot of those foundations actually do a lot outside of Michigan too, even though I think every one of them was headquartered here, except for maybe the bank one, Chase. But I think all the other ones are fundamentally started here in Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, all of these foundations have some kind of investment in Michigan and want to see some kind of growth in Southeast Michigan specifically. But yes, they are a combination of national and local foundations, but they are all invested in Southeast Michigan small business. And most of them are invested in Michigan as a whole and the small business ecosystem in the state as a whole.
Yeah, I remember even when the sort of grand bargain was going on, I don't know if you were back in Michigan yet, but they played a very pivotal role in moving to help a lot of the challenges that Detroit was going through at that time.
Yeah, and I don't think we talk enough about how important it is for those like public-private foundation relationships and collaboration. I think there's, you know, a lane for each one of those, but I mean, everybody should be moving in the same direction, and there needs to be collaboration. And I think the foundations in our region have done a great job of collaborating and coming to the table and bringing the stakeholders that need to come to the table to talk. And the foundations have really been filling in the gaps that government can't fill and that the private sector can't fill. So the foundation has been really pivotal. The foundation world has been really pivotal in filling in those economic development gaps across the region.
Yeah, I had a professor once who told me government does the legitimacy and private sector does the urgency. So that does leave a gap because they're both not exactly doing the same thing, but that's sort of where NGOs or foundations, higher education, individual sort of like, you know, individual funders even sometimes step up and do stuff too. And I think that's, if anything, Michigan and the Detroit area are pretty famous for public-private partnerships now. In fact, the bridge, the new bridge being built actually is a good example of that. So anything else where you see on your future horizon, like for these small companies or, you know, these, you know, where do you think the future is going to be for them?
I mean, the future is in small businesses. I think the future is looking bright. I think small businesses are starting to look at, it's starting to look brighter for small businesses. I think we're really, I think in the final phase of the COVID, and I think we're finally getting back to normal. And small businesses employ over 50% of workers in this region. And I think it's important for us as NEI, as a new economy initiative, and as economic developers to continue to support small businesses because they are a big, they're big employers. They're a large segment of the employers. And I think it's just as important for us to put the resources into small businesses as we do into some of the larger organizations, like, you know, the big autos and some of those larger organizations that bring in 400 or 500 jobs at a time. It's just as important for us to invest in these small businesses that are bringing in 5, 10 jobs, but there's a whole lot of them and they're really supporting our communities, our neighborhoods, our main streets. So moving forward, we're going to continue to support our ecosystem, continue to build the business support organizations, and continue to make sure that startups who want to come to Michigan, there's a clear path that they can go to any of these business support organizations, and there's no wrong door because they're all collaborating, they're all working together. And we want to make sure that Southeast Michigan is the place to start your business. So if you are a tech startup out of Silicon Valley, you want to come to Michigan. If you are, you know, a widget maker from Nashville, you also want to come to Southeast Michigan. We want to make sure we make it easy for small businesses to start, to grow, and to thrive here in Southeast Michigan.
And plus you, beyond that, you also work a lot with, I think, underserved populations that don't normally get that chance, right?
Yes, absolutely. That is our biggest focus. We really want to make sure that communities of color, underserved communities, have the same support services that some of the more affluent communities have. And we want to make sure that, you know, the person who can make the ethnic dish or those cupcakes has all the support they need to build up their business and, you know, be able to thrive and eventually hire employees and continue to grow here and stay here in Southeast Michigan.
Well, your last two questions, and you can elaborate this one. So say you get a chance to talk to your high school Fortson Tractor Wafa back then. What would you tell yourself maybe differently to do this time? Or what advice would you give to anyone, you know, who was like in that kind of similar path?
So I would say, don't limit yourself into what you think is out there. Don't limit yourself to a certain career path. Stay open, stay curious, and pursue what you think you like. But don't be afraid to pivot. Don't be afraid to change direction and go after, you know, what you think will be fun. And if it's not, go after something else. And I think that was a very millennial answer. So,
well, you know, I think that, you know, it's very similar when we ask that question to a lot of guests, but I think everybody would like someone to have been able to talk to someone like themselves, who they are now, but it's kind of hard to find that person sometimes when you're in high school, because you're usually, that's like not a top priority. Like, oh, what am I going to do in the future? I don't know. I want to hang out with my buddies right now or whatever. But yeah, it is a different sort of scope, and especially because you know, English wasn't your first language too. So it's even a bigger challenge as, you know, especially coming to a new country, your whole family or whatever, you know, that was the same for my family somewhat, you know, it's, we just want to just be happy we're here, but then all of a sudden, oh, there's a lot more I can do too, right?
Yep.
The last question for you is pretty simple, but you already know the answer. But what do you like doing best in Michigan? Like if you do, I know you have kids. So where do you guys like doing, or what places do you like going, or do you have any festivals, those kind of things?
So we love the Michigan weather. My favorite is summer. I love the Michigan beaches. I love going to the west side of the state, to Sugar Beach. It's kid friendly. It's beautiful. The water, the sand is warm, but the water is just a little cold, which is great in, you know, July and August. I love Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan is my favorite place to be. And if I want to go anywhere, it's quick. I can take my three kids in the car. It's a short drive. I don't have to hear them, you know, I don't have to hear them for too long in the car. So it's easy. Yeah. And then we get to the beach and they can run around and have fun. And there's a splash pad over there. So it's when they get tired of the sand, we go over to the splash pad. That's really, Michigan beaches are my favorite.
It's a lot easier on your toes too, not having all that sand in there. with that, I want to thank again, Wafa De Niro. It's very nice of you to come on the show today. You're the executive director for the New Economy Initiative, and congratulations on your new job. I should mention you've only been there a couple months now, or maybe more now.
A little bit more, but basically.
Well, that's really great. And I'm so glad you're in that position, and I know you're going to do a lot of great things, and we'll hopefully hear from you in the future too. But thanks again for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
Join us for a special release episode with Martha McFarlane Fays with the State Historic Preservation Office about the future of preserving Michigan history.
The Michigan Opportunity is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion.